Well, here it is,
2015, as has been mentioned several times already, our first service in this new year. And naturally, our thoughts go to, now what? And so I have given, as I am wont to do at times like this, I reflect upon the year that has just passed. There are areas of regret that I wish had not taken place, but they did. And so I put that behind me now, and I look ahead to the year 2015 that, if the Lord tarries and grants us life, is before us. And we focus on the where God is leading us now, what lies ahead. So this is always a time of, here at year end, as we transition, it's a time of reflection for me, a time of introspection. That word means not only looking at, like reflection is you look into, you know what a reflection is, you look into a mirror and you see yourself. Introspection is when you look within yourself and you think about what you see therein. So I gave some thought, actually let me say at this point, that later in the service here this morning, there will be time given for any of you that would like to share with the rest of the congregation kind of what lies on your heart. I'm not going to say share resolutions. Somehow resolutions have gotten a bad name because generally we resolve to do something that we don't carry through. That's why we resolve to do them, because we've had trouble in that area in the past. And so we end up just repeating that cycle. Let me say, however, that isn't it true that life is a series of renewals? How many of us ever accomplish everything we set out to do when we first set out to do them? But we purpose to follow where God leads us. We purpose to do what God calls us to. And then if we falter, stumble, fail, we then regroup and start going again. Refocus and start going again. So in this sense, life is this constant series of renewals. And so if you think about this constant series of renewals, it is good that there are points at which we pause and we kind of measure ourselves from. And so there's a sense in which the end of the year or the beginning of the year is a measuring point, if you will, a point from which we reference backward and forward. By the way, that phrase, beginning of the year, is used at least once in the Bible, in the King James Version at least. And I think it's in Deuteronomy or one of the books of Moses, where he talks about, now when you enter into the promised land, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, these are the things that will happen, that God will grant you. So there is that sense in which it's a biblical pattern to measure the progress of God in our lives from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So this is, why am I saying all this? Just so that you know it's not just this secular innovation that we make resolutions, or that we measure from year to year. So this morning, what lies on my heart, the title of the message is Get Understanding. And I am hoping to, in the next 15, 20 minutes, to communicate to you what lies on my heart in relation to our congregational life. Not just my personal goals and aspirations, but what lies on my heart in relation to our congregational life. You know, time marches on. I was reminded of how this sequence of events just is unstoppable. If you think about in your lives, in my life, in your lives, the sequence of events that take place is just kind of unstoppable. We have this phrase that time marches on. It just goes from one event to the next event to the next event, and you can try to stop that, but you actually, it is not possible to stop the events of our lives. I thought of that passage where that's recorded in the Gospel of Luke, where it is said of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she pondered these things in her heart. That's actually said twice in Luke chapter 2, and it's 12 years apart from each other. Where Luke, who had interacted with Mary, interviewed Mary, if you will, and recorded all of these things regarding the birth of Jesus, how he says that, this must have been Mary's personal testimony, where she says that there were these times then when I just pondered these things in her heart. Or as other versions say, she treasured them in her heart. So, what does it mean that Mary pondered all these things in her heart? The word ponder originated from the Latin word to weigh. Weighing something involves usually holding that item still for a few moments to allow some type of calculation to occur. So there's a sense in which we look at this past year, 2014, hold it still for a moment and allow some kind of measurement, calculation to occur. When we ponder, we consider quietly and deeply. We ponder when something significant has occurred or we have a decision to make. You know, we weigh the matter at hand. Ponder implies reflecting and dwelling on a topic as a way to estimate its worth. So let's think about Mary. When the angel Gabriel was sent by God to tell Mary that Jesus would be born, he started there a sequence of life-altering events for Mary that just marched on from relentlessly from one thing to the next. It started with an angel visiting, an unplanned pregnancy, a long trip to visit her cousin Elizabeth about her miraculous pregnancy in her old age, sharing the news, how do I tell Joseph? How do I tell my family? All these things just kept on. And then a pending divorce from Joseph. And then being uprooted from her home to travel to Bethlehem at a time when pregnant women want to stay home. And then giving birth in an unknown place. And then the very first night, shepherds who came to see her new baby. And then strange visitors come from somewhere far away. And they bring these unusual gifts, and they want to hold her baby, and they bow down before her baby. And so she is, and all of these things happen in, I don't know how fast, but let's say from the time when Gabriel first announced, you know, 9 months later the baby is born and the shepherds arrive. So all of these things are just relentlessly happening in that period of time. And Mary kind of, as she held that little baby in her arms, she must have looked at that little baby and she knew that this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God I'm holding here. And as she reflected upon this series of events, she summed it up by saying, I pondered these things when we think of pondering something, we think of it seems to us that it would be in our brain, in our mind. That's where we ponder things. The Scripture says she pondered them in her heart. And I don't know all the significance of that, but it's no wonder that she needed time to collect her thoughts. Using both her head and her heart, she looked at all that had happened and tried to comprehend not only what happened, but why it happened, and the meaning of it all. Now, why am I saying all this? Well, kind of as an introduction to the message here this morning. that on a much reduced scale, the events of 2014 in each one of our lives have just kind of like marched on. And there wasn't a point in time when even if we wished we could have just stopped things, time just marches on. And so we do well to ponder in our hearts what happened in our lives, and not just what happened in our lives, but why. Because God is at work in our day as surely as He was then. The text that I have taken, that the message is taken from this morning, is in Proverbs chapter 4. So open your Bibles to the Proverbs, into the fourth chapter. The title of the message is Get Understanding, and I assume that because you are Bible readers, when you read the title or hear the title of that message, then your mind will immediately go to Proverbs, and some of those familiar scriptures will come to mind. And I will be reading, there's actually a sequence. I want for you to grasp here the sequence of truth that flows from these passages of Scripture, beginning to read in Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7. I'm going to read it in the King James Version and then read it in the ESV as well, just so that we grasp a certain nuance of the word understanding. And then going to Proverbs 16, verse 16, and then Psalm 119, verse 104. So beginning to read in Proverbs 4 and verse 5. Those who are able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Beginning to read in Proverbs 4, 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Forget her not. I'm sorry. Already read that. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The title of the message. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her, or doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now reading from the ESV, verses 5 through 7. Then you will understand. I'm sorry. Five. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Get insight. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding than to be chosen. Excuse me, let me read that again. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? What it's saying is, if you have the choice of silver and gold or wisdom and insight, how much better it is to get wisdom. Well, how do we get wisdom? In Psalm 119 and verse 104, or how do we get understanding and insight? Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You may be seated. So how do we get insight and wisdom and understanding? We get it through the precepts of God's Word. Now, let's reflect just a bit. Ask anyone, why do you live as you do? If I would just ask you, each one of you, and you would respond this morning here to all the rest of us, why do you live as you do? What would you say? Surprisingly, many can give no cohesive answer to why. There are many, and so I'm going to talk, think this morning here about two different groups of people. The one is the group of people that can give no answer to why they live as they do because they have never ever thought about it. They are just going through life, and they are just living by the desires of their bodies. The Scripture says by the flesh. But they're just living by the desires of their bodies. They give no thought at all to the eventual consequences of this kind of living. They just go ahead and do it. And so if you ask them, so why are you living like you're living? Why do you live the way you do? They never even thought about it. Or there are those who are living by what I would call living by rote. They're living by, according to the cultural and religious dictates that they have just kind of grown up with and have come to accept. Now, to live this way without understanding is better than to live according to the flesh without understanding. The consequences are much better. The outcome of such a life is much better. But nevertheless, it's still a life without understanding. Or it can lead to a way of life without understanding. Now, what I'm trying to get to is this. Dear brethren and sisters, why it is important that we live with understanding. Why would I care? What you would say if I would ask, so why are you living the way you are living? If you're a member of Crosspoint Mennonite, or if you attend here and you sit under our preaching, by the way, welcome to all of the visitors. We're very glad that you're here. It's a blessing to see your faces here. But why would the rest of us care about what the rest of us say? Let me phrase it that way. I have several reasons. And I want to say at this point that it might appear like I'm saying we ought to live in such a way that those who are observing us are impressed by the way that we live, or that we are, in a sense, putting on a show. I don't mean that at all. Don't take it that way. But we are being observed. So let's think about 2015. 2014 has happened. Here we are at the outset of 2015, we've been in this community of Baltic now for approaching 2 years. Do I have that right? That it's we started meeting here in September of 2013. Am I thinking straight? 2004. So this year it'll be 2 years. So there are people in this community. The residents of Baltic, I would dare say, are observing the members of Crosspoint Mennonite. And by their observations, they are deciding whether we are a likable people with kind of quaint ways, kind of out of touch with living in, you know, with the modern realities of life, but kind of harmless, actually kind of good to have around, because after all, they help, you know, like raise the bar here by their morality and so on, and by their willingness to share and so forth. But really, they are just living out their Mennonite ways, their cultural norms. And they really haven't thought through why they're living the way they're living. They're just living out there the way that they've been brought up. Lacking a good understanding of why we live as we live. Or, by their observations of us, are they observing? And I should say, by their observations and interaction with us, are they observing that we have a biblical understanding of why we live the way we live? And by biblical understanding of why we live the way we live, I mean that if there are questions as to, well, so why do you live the way you... Why do you share the way you share? Why are you... And I'll say this again at the expense of sounding like we're trying to perform. We're not trying to perform as a congregation here in this community, but the churches of this community offered to Cross Point Mennonite or invited us. Would you please conduct the Vacation Bible School? Because, and I think it's fair to say, because there just wasn't enough help around anymore, and people, you all came by the dozen and helped to conduct a Vacation Bible School. So is there, so as they observe this, are they seeing here that, but that's just because they have barn raisings too. When there's work to do, they just kind of show up and do it. And it's because of their culture. Or are we living in such a way that the residents of this community are looking at us and saying, it's because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And they are willing to lay aside the things that they could be doing otherwise and seeking the kingdom of God. You see, they're living out the Bible. That's what they're doing. Is that what their observation is? This is why get understanding is so important. Because if we're merely living our lives by the cultural norms, by the way we've been brought up, and all of these things, I'm not saying that's bad. These things are not bad. But if that's the reason that we live as we live, and that's the depth of our understanding, we need to get understanding of what it means to live out the Bible. And that's why in the end, the question overarching, as I think about Cross Point Mennonite, and as I think about 2015, the question which overarches everything else is it biblical? And I'll come to that more later this morning if there's time. Now, there's another group that is observing us. And I'm going to say... Actually, I'll read what I wrote here so as not to misspeak. There are plain people in our community who are observing us. By their observations and their interaction with us, they are deciding whether we are merely a group of people who have decided that we want more liberty for our flesh. And so as a group, have created new freedoms for ourselves. While we lack a good understanding of why it is that we live the way we live. And by their observations and their interaction with us, they are deciding whether we have a biblical understanding of why it is the way that we live the way we do. Or whether we are just taking our cues from the culture in which we live and being swept along by the culture in which we live. And for the same reason, the overarching question is it biblical? And I would sum this up. I'm going to say we, because I don't think this is just myself, but we. It is our vision and mission that those who observe us, that those who observe us would come to understand that we are a body of believers living out a body of truth. Now, a part of what I am trusting that will come about here in 2015 is that we as a congregation will continue our It seems to me, and I'm quoting Tim R. here. Tim, I trust you won't mind if I say this. We talk a lot about all kinds of things in relation to what we stand for, what we believe, and so on. But somehow we talk a lot, and we don't quite get it lived out. And so 2015 is a time for us to start living out what we talk about. Does that make sense? Now, I do want to say that as a new congregation, it is important that we take time to think through and to develop what our vision is and have a good understanding, or we must understand what we stand for. But there does come a point where we transition from having it settled into our hearts and minds into putting shoe leather to what we say we believe, to actually living it out. This is why getting understanding is so crucial. Because we must understand why it is that we live the way we do. Because it's in the understanding that there's the power of our message as a congregation to this community. It's in living out this, and I'll call this a body of truth. And what I mean to say by this, by a body of truth, is that I have here in my have here with me our mission, vision, and core values. And I'm going to just take a few minutes and read through these core values. Remember, we talked about our mission. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is kind of a dual purpose there. We love the Lord God, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. And our vision is that as we do that, that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That just the way the Gospel of Matthew says that all men, but that people will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Here, so what does that, but that's pretty vague and broad. So what does this look like? What are the values that we must get understanding of? One, the Bible. We believe the Bible is the divinely inspired Word of God and are committed to read, to study, to preach, to teach, and distribute it within the congregation and everywhere we go. Number two, sound doctrine. We are committed to sound doctrine, as expressed in the Bible, faithfully practicing Christian ordinances and applying biblical principles in our personal lives and congregational practices. Three, worship. We are committed to worship God in spirit and truth. Does anyone know the reference? For God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4:24. And as soon as I get the license plate changed on my car, if you forget that, you can look at our license plate. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we are committed to worship God in spirit and truth, personally and as a congregation, through singing, praying, preaching, teaching, Bible study, giving, and personal adoration. Four, discipleship. We believe that all who are truly born again enter into the kingdom of heaven and become followers of Jesus Christ to live as He taught in the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospels and the apostolic examples of the apostles, of the epistles. Five, our core value is holiness. We are committed to holiness in our personal lives, which commends us to God and serves as a continual Christian witness to the people around us. Six, brotherhood. We are committed to Christian brotherhood in the unity of the Spirit, shown by mutual aid when it's needed, open relationships with each other, which is always needed, mutual church discipline when it's needed, and accountability among the brethren, which is always needed. I'm adding a few phrases there about need. Seven, missions. We are committed to missions to evangelize those who do not know Jesus Christ and to minister to those in physical and spiritual need both within and without the church. Eight, Christian families. Okay, now let's think here about points of contact with our culture. The points where we are going to be at odds with our culture. If you think about the times in which we live, the morality of our culture, that is even now being codified in the laws of our land. We are counterculture in this respect, that we believe marriage is a lifetime covenant between one man and one woman, and are committed to cultivating strong marriages, and stable Christian homes in the congregation, where children are nurtured in Christian faith from generation to generation. 9, we believe in Christian education. We are committed to providing Christian education for our children using curriculum that develops a biblical worldview. Just this morning in our Sunday school, the observation was made that when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were preaching in, was it Derby? When they were preaching, when they wanted to worship them as gods, then Paul did not cite the scriptures like he did in the synagogue to the Jews. Because he was talking to the Gentiles who did not know the scriptures, he took them right back to creation. And that very point is in the teaching institutions of this nation under attack, to the point that in our public school system, it's not only not done, but illegal to teach the starting point for understanding about God. Okay, number 10 is Christian stewardship. We believe we are stewards of the time, talents, and material resources that God has entrusted to us, and we must give account for how we use it. All of these core values, what I was trying to get to is this body of truth. So, here we are as a congregation. Every time someone gets up to preach, every time someone gets up to teach, when you're teaching Sunday school, and this goes from when you're teaching the adult classes to when you're teaching the preschoolers, all up and down the line, when we teach, when we preach, when you have a devotional, whatever it is, not only by the words that you speak, but by the way that we live, we are living out a body of truth. And that's all the time I have this morning to define what I mean by this. But there's a sense sometimes in which we kind of isolate. You're looking at me kind of puzzled, okay? There's a sense sometimes where we kind of isolate. If you have devotions, you might want to talk about something that no one ever has ever talked about. You know, something that's really interesting. Or if you teach Sunday school, or if you preach a message, you're kind of like, there's almost like there's a pressure on to talk about something new and different in a way that's never been done before. I would say to you that we are generally a very forgetful people, and we need this constant reassurance, this constant reminding, and what we're doing as a congregation is we are teaching and preaching a body of truth. And it's all of these various things, all of these core values here, that we're teaching and preaching all of these things and training a generation, what I would call a rising generation. There is how should I say this? I'm going to borrow here from some of the terminology from Stephen Brubaker. There are great cultural forces vying for our children's allegiances and loves. Let me say that again. There are great cultural forces vying for our children's allegiances and loves. No tepid response will effectively counter the allure of video games, the internet, movies, and the prevailing value system. It is imperative that we collectively mobilize overwhelming resources to invest in the character and the capability of our children. It's this body of knowledge, this body of truth, that we as a congregation are investing into our own lives and into the lives of our children, the rising generation. Because, you know, the real measure of our biblicism, the real measure of how we can take the Bible, read it, and incorporate what the Bible teaches into our practical lives, the way we live our lives personally, and the way that we conduct our affairs as a congregation. The real measure is the report card. Doesn't come in until our children are grown and they have caught the vision to be biblical and to understand and get understanding for why it is that we live the way we live. The time is here to close. And I promised that I would give some time for you all, if there's anyone here that would like to share what lies on your heart. Is there any? So we'll just, before we close the service, we'll pause here. If there's anyone that has something on your heart that you would like to share with the congregation, or if there's a response to what I've said here this morning and I've said something misguided and that needs correction, or if you would like to affirm that, yes, this body of truth I believe in, and I want to help promote and advance this body of truth among us in our congregational life. If there's anyone that would have any response, now would be the time to give a response. But do it quick, because I'm keeping my eye on the clock. Amen. Yeah, if you think not, we're not being observed, dream on. Yeah. Anyone else?
I would just like to say amen to that.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think sometimes of that that phrase that I was, which of the presidents, Bush, was it that said, had the program No Child Left Behind? Was it, I think, Herbert Walker Bush? Or was it the I forget which. The last one. W. Bush. I think of that phrase often as I think of our congregation. Isn't that the crux of it all? No child left behind. As we incorporate this body of truth, as we move this body of truth from something we know in our heads and believe in our hearts to something we live out in our lives, therein lies the power and the strength of our witness as a congregation in this community. Shall we, let's stand together to pray. Our Heavenly Father, here we stand, 2015, and we think now of the year that has gone by, the minutes that have flown, the hours, the days, the weeks, months that have flown and are now history. And we thank you for them. We thank you for each one, for all the experiences that you've led each one of us through. We could reflect, Heavenly Father, on the hard times in 2014. We could reflect on the things that did not turn out the way that we had hoped they would. We could reflect on how that it's like a hike, 2014 was. Sometimes we knew where the end was, other times we still don't know. But here we are in this point in 2015, and as we, just like the ancient Israelites, we're told to measure from the beginning of the year to the end of the year and see how God would supply and provide for them. Just the same way at the beginning of this year, we look to you to provide and supply for us. It is our desire to be a people who live by your book, by your word. And we pray that you would help us to get understanding. We confess that we are often negligent, we are weak, we are undone by hard words and by concepts that take thought. We do not spend enough time pondering in our heart how that you interact with us. So we pray that you would help us to, like Mary, ponder in our hearts how what you have wrought among us. And we pray that you would help us to get understanding so that we might be your people in this time and place. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.